From the Roots Up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. We're going to be talking later in the show with about the quarter past with Norman Otis Richmond, the bluesologist and Pan-Africanist, and somebody with a great history. We're going to talk about Norman's career, let's call it, in politics and music. As I said, that'll be coming in about 15 minutes. I want to mention some news items that I think stand out for the Taylor Report, one that I haven't seen widely publicized. The winner, they tell us, of the French election, the one with the most votes, was the coalition led by Mélenchon. If you don't know his name, start learning it. He's a major figure, and he is a quite clear, unequivocal type of socialist who doesn't bite his tongue on the subject. And he has been a strong supporter of the Palestinian cause. I'm not quite sure what he thinks about Ukraine, but he has said something new. And as we've spoke about on the show, the president of France hasn't quite figured out what to do. They haven't got a new prime minister yet. As I said, the coalition led by Mélenchon did have the most votes, which creates a problem for the masters of France. They thought it was going to be a different combination. But here's why we're talking about Mélenchon. Mélenchon has said now that France should begin to negotiate its departure from NATO. France should leave NATO, he says. He's careful. He says in a organized, rational way, not to be disruptive, but to leave. Remember, France was never an enthusiastic member of NATO. Charles de Gaulle said that he didn't like the idea of surrendering his sovereignty to NATO, which you do. If you join NATO, your sovereignty begins to slip away. We always talk about Canada this, Canada that, in NATO, but we're not the boss. The boss is, of course, number one, the United States. De Gaulle probably had his feelings hurt because when they had D-Day and landed in Normandy, etc., they didn't tell De Gaulle they were invading his country. And he was our ally, but they didn't tell him. He didn't go to the occasions when they had their little meetings. People will laugh about that or think it's not important, but that would be saying you don't think France is important. And so this is big news. If only just to let it register that the major political movement at the moment in France is talking about leaving NATO. So we'll see where that goes, but that's something that should register with Canadians, because we're always told that our fate, our destiny, is entirely wrapped up with NATO, as though NATO is somehow an immortal collection of states, which is an insult to the intelligence. But it is treated that way. Every editorial writer in Canada always says, are we doing enough to be respected inside NATO? Or, you know, maybe NATO is disappointed in us. Well, it sounds like the French aren't terribly impressed with NATO. And if you are the ceiling of the American Republic and you're their friend and you trade with them and look after them, you don't have to meet all their little requirements for how many soldiers. They have a friendly neighbor, and that's good enough. Why can't we be like Mexico? Mexico is not a member of NATO. They put their money into developing their country. We're putting the money into developing a military alliance to fight and kill Canadians at the end of the day. And we have people writing, prepare for war, literally. Maybe that's why Melanchon says they should, France should leave, because the war drums are being beaten rather heavily. So that, to me, is a very important point, and I hope people register that. There have been voices in Canada raised this matter for a long time. A second story that seems to be one of those mystery stories about Canada, it's nobody knows quite why this happened. The foreign minister, or what is she, what's it, they changed the names of the titles, but it basically our foreign minister, Jolie, made us a trip, sudden trip. It wasn't announced. They said, oh, she's going to China. And she paid a visit, and the doors were open all the way down the hallway to the top guys. She met China's foreign minister. I don't know if he summoned her, but this wasn't China saying, oh, please come and talk. For some reason, yet to be quite explained, Jolie made this visit. They tell us the Globe and Mail is quite nervous because they want to get China's number one on their hit list, and they want all Canadians to become Sinophobic and to suspect their Asian neighbors and all that. They're all whispering about, oh, one of them actually likes China or something. But very ugly kind of low-level McCarthyism goes on daily in our media. So Jolie made this visit. The Chinese said in their statement, we don't have any fundamental difference with Canada. There is no conflict. But for some reason, they say, China relations have been twisted. Well, we were all there when the twisting started. That's when Donald Trump told the Canadians to arrest a business, Canadian-Chinese business executive, Huawei vice president, powerful figure. Canada arrested her. They connived with the U.S. government not only to arrest her, but to hold her, but they made sure that she was on a plane leaving Hong Kong so that they'd be sure to catch her. It's amazing that relations survived that. But you have to remember now, or notice, Trump doesn't seem to have gone away. And the question, I was in the back of my mind, I thought, I wonder if Jolie went all the way over there to say, you know, if they call us next time and tell us to arrest somebody, we won't do it, okay? We're not going to do that. So as to not destroy our trade relations with a major trade partner on behalf of an American nationalist, super nationalist. So that might have been part of the conversation. I think if I was the foreign minister of China, I would say, you guys know what you did there. I mean, she was not a criminal. She's a business person, and you destroyed her business and our relations. And you did it as a favor to Donald Trump. So we're interested in knowing where you stand on these things. That's what if I was a Chinese foreign minister, that's what I would say. Speaking again of our major media, why we call it major, I don't know, pretty mediocre. They said they're playing it this way. She said to China, we won't tolerate any interference. That actually wasn't the main point of her visit, because the main point of her visit, according to the press release, actually was a desire to resume mutually beneficial trade and relations. That's what that trip was about. And because Parliament has worked itself into hysteria and can't wait to come back in the fall and begin a hunt for traitors in the Canadian Parliament, they're calling each other traitors. On that score, the Canadians are no less crazy than our American cousins, because everyone here scoffs and smirks and talks about how batty American politics is. Canadian Parliament is a study in batty politics. All they want to do is find a rumor about an opposing politician and call that politician a traitor based on rumors or innuendo, and the source of the innuendo is apparently an alienated member of the Canada's Homeland Security, CSIS, who's never been named, and the documents are leaked, which may or may not mean much of anything. We know that the leader of the Green Party read the documents, said, doesn't look like there's anything there. The leader of the NDP read the documents and said, oh, there are traitors. So, as I said, the Parliament's out of its mind. But here you have somebody actually, you know, supposed to, using the old expression from Mulroney, Canada is open for business. Are you open for business or not? China is not a declared adversary. It is the idea that it's an adversary and a menace is entirely cooked up. There's no content to that. And it is true that the United States would like to create a condition where no one would be doing business with China, because they would be in a either trade heavy trade war, sanctions, and perhaps war over a place like Taiwan. So in the meantime, you know, countries have to try to survive and do their best. I think there should be a great interest in the Jolie visit and its representation. We should be paying close attention to that. Another matter that really needs to be taken up is, or should be paid attention to. We talked on the show with Tony Leah. We talked with Harry Glassbeck, who's written a great book about how, you know, we have a capitalist class and they do as they please and we pay for it. Now, there's been a great drive to give all of our money to offshore companies so that they will build battery plants. And this is supposed to be the future, and Ford is smiling, both Fords, Henry and the Premier, and Trudeau, et cetera. Now, Donald Trump, in his speech, I think people understand he could be reelected, elected again. Donald Trump said that the day he's elected, there's no further subsidy for electric vehicles. He's against it. And he says, to back up, to make his drive the point home, his motto is drill, drill, drill. More oil, more digging, and hooray for the tar sands, as they say. And don't think that won't work as a slogan. It's a repeat of the game that was played by Ronald Reagan when he was running against Carter. Carter was an environmentalist and was destroyed because he was they made jokes about him. He said Americans should control the speed of automobiles on the highways to reduce dependence on oil, and he was trying to move the country away from dependence on oil, and he went so far as to put solar panels on the White House. When Ronald Reagan was elected, he had those torn off the roof, removed. There are no solar panels anymore. And he said, step on the gas. And Americans loved that oh boy, we get Reagan, we're going to step on the gas. It basically is let, you know, devil take the hindmost. So it's a, that's where we are, and we got, we just poured a lot of dough here into these battery plants. I don't know if Premier Ford is going to go down and come help campaign for Kamala, but I don't think it's saved the day. I think they're cooked, but we'll see. So this is the Taylor Report. We have more on these matters later in the show, but we're going to take a slight musical break and come back with Norman Otis Richmond, the bluesologist. This is Taylor Report. It is CIUT. It's 89.5 FM. I think we have 1 minute, and coming up will be Steve Fruitman and 33-45-78. I just say, get ready for wild times, because Prime Minister Netanyahu is going to address a joint session of the American Congress, and it's going to look like jumping jacks, people applauding, at a time when the International Criminal Court of Justice says that he should be boycotted and no one should be trading with him. So there he will be, standing in front of the U.S. Congress. This Taylor Report, thanks, Pedro. I'm going to learn to say that. Pedro, thanks very much, and we'll see you next week.